Blog Talk Radio. to dream of, dream really do come true.
Are you barefooters out there looking for a new place to shop, eat, and save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are seven of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right here, the check originally was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we are going to check out. View the books in your area before you buy. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Just click on your city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around town with your new Save Around book. The views and opinions expressed during the BIL Radio Show are those of the host and not that of Freedomizer Radio or the broadcast affiliates.
Welcome to Barefoot is Legal Radio, where you will learn the benefits and your rights to live a barefoot lifestyle. And now, here to empower you and dispel the myth of going barefoot, is a full-time barefooter of over 15 years and veterans legal advocate, your host, Nick Pierce.
Well, hello, and welcome to another wonderful edition of the Barefoot is Legal Radio Show. I am your host, Nick Pierce. For those of you that may not know, I have been barefoot full-time for 20-plus years. I got rid of the last pair of anything that went on my feet over 15 years ago. I'm the head of NP Media Group. I did a radio show briefly there called The Business of Arts, Music, and Entertainment for quite a few years, actually, where I empowered up-and-coming artists in the entertainment business to advance their careers. I'm also a victim legal advocate standing up for the human rights that we as the barefoot community have, and also the head of BIL's Legal Services Department. Now, many of us have different reasons for going barefoot. Some of you, it may be for religious reasons. Others, some of you for cultural reasons. Others for health, medical reasons, religious reasons. Even though our reasons are different, there are people out there that think that there are laws, rules, policies, and dangers about being barefoot in public. Whatever your reasons are, call in, share your stories, your experiences. 319-527-6208 is a way to be a part of the show. Again, that's 319-527-6208. Just press 1 to be on the air. We also have our live chat room open. If you go to freedomizerradio.com, you can interact with other members of the barefoot community during our broadcast. Just go to freedomizerradio.com and join our chat there. We also have our website, barefootislegal.org. where we have a lot of content there to help you dispel the myths and go up against the people that think that being barefoot is illegal. We also have our Facebook page, Barefoot is Legal, open to the public. That's our business page. And we also have a private group, closed group. So if you are interested in living a barefoot lifestyle or live a barefoot lifestyle, feel free to join private closed group right on Facebook, barefootislegal.org. But this is not a place for you heavy breathing fun seekers. This is not a fetish community. No, no, no. This is not a place for you to get your rocks off on foot pictures. We are here to empower you and share the message that bare feet are legal. And with that said, now it's time to kick off your shoes if you are wearing them or still have any at all, and enjoy the next hour and a half of time that we have together. We have quite a few guests that are going to be joining us today throughout the broadcast. But before we kick that off, I do want to let you know that a lot of people have been talking about the transition. We are moving into the colder temperatures, and for some of you in some parts of the country and other parts of the world, it is already cold there. But I think I covered this last year when the season started to change. And if you want to live a barefoot lifestyle, I can help you give you a couple tips. And I'm sure that some of our guests today will be able to share their experiences and what they do. But if you've been handling the transition well into the colder weather and you remain barefoot, that's great. If you're a seasoned member of the barefoot community, share your methods. Go to our Facebook page for other members to see. Share, you know, how your transition's going and how you're handling living barefoot when the season gets cold.
Personally, when I look at it, your body will adjust if you want it to. Since it is getting cold in some parts, and keeping the core body temperature up is the key. See, a lot of people think that, oh, I just bundle up and put some shoes on my feet and I'm going to be fine. Actually, the way it really works is if your core body temperature is actually warm, then it will keep the blood flowing to the outer extremities of the body and keep your feet and fingers warm, even in extreme cold. And, you know, you need that body heat. And I do a couple things. I wear multiple layers when I go out when it's cold, but I still remain barefoot. And, you know, friends will say, well, you can't do that. And I'm like, well, yeah, like, you know, you can handle it. And, you know, there's a lot that can be, you know, discussed when it comes to that. I mean, like I said, just a matter of keeping your core body temperature up and your feet will adjust, believe it or not. It's funny because I've often heard that and there's been a lot of research done on this. I need like a flip flop or a moccasin to put on. Actually, that makes your feet colder because they sweat. And when they perspire, you're going to get a lot colder than if they were just out in the open and dry. Even if it's raining or snowing outside, it melts. It really does melt around you. And try it. Now, take baby steps, though. I'm not going to encourage everybody to just run out in the snow barefoot. You know, we don't want anybody to lose a toe. You know, safety is a bit of a concern. But, yeah, definitely something to think about. And I'll be talking a lot about that throughout our broadcast. Again, live chat room open, freedomizerradio.com. And our call-in number, 319-527-6208, if you would like to be a part of the show today. Just press 1 to be on the air. I'll know you're waiting. I'll know you're there, and we'll be happy to have you on. Well, we have one of our guests today and a fellow member of the Barefoot community on the page, and her name is Cheryl Ann Rubner. I believe I said that right. And we've been talking a little bit here and there throughout the week, and she's going to be our special guest today. And I don't know, maybe a co-host. You never know. So, well, welcome to the show, Cheryl. You want to tell our listeners a little bit about us, about you, and you know, give yourself a little intro there if you'd like.
Hi, Nick. Thanks. Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you loud and clear. And what's really great about this broadcast is we're not just on the radio. We're not just broadcasting through Freedomizer and on Blog Talk and all that. We actually have a live stream going on the group page for Barefoot is Legal. So we have a live video feed coming from the studio out to all of our Facebook members in Barefoot is Legal. So hopefully this is all working and everything's coming out okay. From what I heard, I don't see anybody running in here saying nothing's working. So I think that everything is actually working quite well. And I'm glad we can hear you. You sound great. I hope I come in loud and clear. And welcome to the show.
Thanks, Nick. Yeah, I've been an on and off barefooter for a couple of years now. I'm from New York originally, and I did make it through an entire winter once a few years back. I did cheat one day. I think I wore boots on one day, but yes, what you were saying earlier is definitely true. The body does adjust, but barefootedness is not the only interest that I have in terms of bodily freedom or in general. Just a little bit about myself. Well, I've been traveling for about 3.5 years on and off across this country. I've done a lot of activist and humanitarian work, both by myself and with other organizations. I'm an astrologer, I'm an academic, I'm a flutist, a musician in general, published poet, animal lover, and nature freak in general. So I'm glad to be on the show.
A lot in common there as far as music and nature and all that. And, of course, living the barefoot lifestyle. So that's great. So you play the flute, you said?
Yes. I've been playing the flute since I was in elementary school.
Oh, wow. So, probably pretty good at it by now. I've been playing drums for a long time, and so that's great. A lot of musicians joining the show lately. Last week was another drummer. It was like, you know, the hour and a half of like huge egos with two drummers on the radio. You give them a mic, and then it's like, wow.
Oh boy.
So it's nice to kind of break it up a little bit. So how long have you been living the barefoot lifestyle? You said that it's one of your
It really started to become something that I was pursuing maybe about 4 years ago, at the beginning of the winter, and that was when I guess I initiated myself over the winter, which was an interesting experience. I hadn't pursued it publicly or actively very much before that. Maybe just at outdoor events, you know, not in any sort of unusual way. But I remember I first started to become interested in it when I was in college here on Long Island. I started in college back in 2003, and I remember I took note of this one fellow student. I don't even remember his name. I don't even think I ever talked to him, but he was known on campus for being the barefoot dude. And I remember being captivated by his. I mean, I don't want to be crude, but his balls to just go out there and be barefoot when a lot of people were, I could tell were making fun of him. But a lot of people supported him too. There was an article about him in the school newspaper, and I remember every time I would see him, I would feel really inspired. But I never had the courage or the confidence to start pursuing it myself until years later. And I guess it developed out of my desire to be more natural in my lifestyle and to be able to connect with the earth. You know, I mean, it was as simple as wanting to feel the ground on my feet. You know, I mean, who doesn't like walking in sand or, you know, putting their toes in the grass or whatever? I mean, it's how we evolved, right? But
of course, yeah. Naturals. I mean, it's what humans were designed to do to begin with.
It came out of a desire to be more natural in my lifestyle, and then as I continue moving forward, cut to maybe about the past year or so, is when I became more active in it, and I started to want to practice my right to be barefoot in more public spaces, and it was then when I started to encounter a lot of hostility and resistance, and that's how I moved into the activist front.
Got it. So what actually encouraged you to actually do it?
Well, I was sick of having to go on a daily basis, go through this cognitive dissonance of, well, I know that I'm allowed to be barefoot. I really want to be barefoot. I know that it's healthier. Why should I have to acquiesce to false assumptions that other people have about what I'm able or not able to do?
Yeah, that's a great point. And, you know, people think that there's, like I say, like there's these myths that there's, you know, this, it's almost like they force this standard on us that, you know, it's, you know, like I say, they think that there are laws and issues about it. And just being able to dispel those myths and doing it and going out there and being an ambassador for it and all that shows people, you know, especially when they challenge you or you get confronted or something, it really shows them that, oh, there really is no law. You know, there are no regulations. There's nothing like that around. And
a lot of people do react with pleasant surprise, like, oh, I didn't know that. But I've actually found other scenarios a lot more common in my experience. I've found that either people don't notice and don't care, or they do notice and they don't care. And then there's the times when a store owner or someone does notice, and then they confront me about it. And then that's when I have to go into activist mode, right? And I have, you know, the Barefoot is Legal group I found is just so awesome. The work that everybody else has done in accumulating the letters from government officials of every state in the country and a lot of corporate offices as well, stating over and over again that there is no law that requires people to be barefoot in public spaces. And yet a lot of shop owners believe that it is illegal. And even when there was one instance where I was in a bar in Savannah that I chose to go into because they don't have any rules against people bringing pets in, which is another issue that is kind of related, but it doesn't necessarily have to be. And at that time, I hadn't acquired my legality for my dog's service position and training. So the fact that I could find a bar that I could sing karaoke in that allowed dogs was like, okay, great. I don't have to be hassled about anything. I could just go in and enjoy myself. And I went in with bare feet. So the bar owner confronted me about it, and I was very calm, and I didn't want any trouble at all. I said, well, actually, it's not illegal, but I will wear slippers in your bar just because, and I put the slippers on, and I continued to go through the night, and then a short while later, I wanted to bring up to her the conversation of why it actually is legal, and I showed her the materials while wearing slippers. So I was following her rule, and she became completely belligerent, started yelling at me, saying that it didn't matter that it was legal or not, that it was her bar, and I had to wear shoes. And I said, well, I am wearing shoes. I'm just trying to have a conversation with you and educate you.
Yeah.
And that was when it really started flying, because she said that she didn't need to be educated, that she was educated, and this was how it was. And it was then that I realized that, wow, I really can't go into a place, despite that it's legal for me to be there, without basically being...
An issue and confrontation.
Emotionally not welcome, right? There was no way for me to continue being in that bar and having a good time, so I had to leave. I chose to leave, and I went home. And that was probably the most hostile experience that I have had. But that experience and other experiences have made me realize that If I go out to any public place without shoes on, I am essentially walking into a battlefield. I could be confronted at any time, and I could be required to show papers at any time, and that might not even be good enough. So for me to go through my daily tasks, I mean, I basically have to make tactical decisions every time I go into a store. When I get out of my car, I ask myself, okay, do I want to risk having to go to battle? Yes or no? And if I can't risk it for whatever reason, maybe I'm sick, maybe I have too much else to do, maybe I just feel like not being super visible that day, then I have a pair of slippers, or I'll put on a pair of flip-flops, even though I hate flip-flops, right? I mean, they're for a lot of reasons that we can talk about later maybe, but and I know that a lot of other people on the group have had similar experiences that I have, where they go for months and months and months and they have no trouble, and then all of a sudden one day someone gives them a whole lot of trouble. People have posted videos with conversations that they've had with store owners and everything, and it all seems so absurd to me that such an innocuous thing as not wearing shoes is enough to make people flare up like you just punched them in the face.
Like
or
you
something.
Have leprosy or something, and they think that they're better. And I've talked about this before. First of all, anytime there's a confrontation like that or someone says something against it, I always like to find out what the objection is. And so for some of our listeners that are listening for the first time or just haven't heard me say this before, find out what the objection is. If they start with it's a law, I typically would say, well, actually, I have a copy of the law if you want to see it. It's either one of the Barefoot Right cards or something like that. Or, they say, why? And I'm like, well, I do it for this reason. And, you can show them things like something from the ADA or something from the civil rights laws in your state. And, sometimes if they say health department, then you're like, oh, well, actually, here's a copy of the health department letter right here. If one thing that always smacks them in the face, and this is always classic, you just ask them, wait a minute, you handle food and you don't know what the health department regulations are? right away they look at that like, oh, yeah, this doesn't sound too good for me. You know, when they're sitting there saying that, well, the health department does this, I'm like, you should not be handling food. You shouldn't be working in here if you don't know what the health department says. And I'd be afraid to eat. Once you put it that way, then they're just like, well, you know, they don't know what to say. They're just like, oh, okay, excuse me, sorry. When it comes to the actual laws, if they say, oh, there's a law against it, say, actually, there's a law against what you're doing. And sometimes even presenting them with the penalty, like it's like, you know, if it's a medical condition, you know, it's $75,000 just for the first time. Once I call and send an email in and they come and find you. Is this what you really want? Sometimes it's better for them just to give you a cheeseburger and let you have a few beers than, want to really deal with that. And sometimes it also depends on, you know, how confrontational they are. There's a thing in our group that I posted about Walmart. Now, I hate Walmart. I haven't been to Walmart in years. I hate walking through the door to that hellhole, that money pit trap, that, and the junk.
It's a scary place.
I shop at their competition, which is right down the road from them, a place called Myers. And I just never liked Walmart to begin with. And it really had nothing to do with me being barefoot. And at one point, this one guy comes up. And if no one's seen the video, just go to the Facebook group. If you're not a member and you're interested, just check it out there. Some guy came over. Supposedly, he was a manager, which when I went to the assistant store manager, the real manager that was on duty, all of a sudden, he's not a manager. He was just some like floor supervisor or something for some department. So someone gave him the keys to the celery and he thought he was something, you know. The guy didn't even have a name tag on. But, he decided, okay, here we go. I'm going to go around with this guy who's barefoot looking at meat. And I had to go in there for a memory card. And I needed this memory card by the next morning and I couldn't wait for another store to open. I needed it before, you know. So unfortunately, Wally
was
in a place
you.
You were
the one that posted this video. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when this guy came up to me, I said, take out the cell phone. Let's start recording this one. This is how we handle them. You know, and if you haven't heard the sketches before, I'll sometimes put a scenario out there on the radio show about like, you know, how we handle them, I call it. And I fear this is a great video example. This is real life. This is what happened. And the bottom line was you just say, no, it's not. And you know, that's not right. Come on, behave. You know, you smack them in the face with that. And they're just like, no, it is. And you're just like, I can show you a copy if you want. Are you a manager? He's like, yeah, I'm a manager. I'm like, are you a store manager? I'm a something manager. Like he starts fumbling around when you start to question the guy. So I said, well, let's go over and talk to the real manager. And so we ended up walking towards the front of the store where the manager was. He had him on the radio. And I said, this guy needs to be educated. First of all, blah, 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 blah. Now, the manager, he was like, oh, I'm sorry. I know. Oh, no, I know. I'm sorry. You'll hear the conversation if you watch the video. But sometimes it's just a matter of, hey, this is what the law is. This guy needs to behave and do something about him. You know, I own a portion of Walmart. I have a 401k. I invest in, you know, I have a portfolio and stuff like that. Therefore, I own a piece of them. It's the way I look at it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a shareholder. So you work for me. And that's that.
Don't we have a letter from corporate Walmart stating that Walmart has no policy whatsoever that requires shoes in the store anyway?
Yeah, that's correct. There is no policy. They've confirmed that over and over before. And, but of course you have, a store like that, they have a lot of turnaround and they don't quite, train their employees properly. And they end up, you know, with the turnover and a new person comes in and it's all, you know, back to where it was in the beginning. You know, they don't know anything. And it's a constant back and forth with corporate. So, which is sad.
If it's not the actual rule of the store or the law of the land, well, it seems to me that a lot of it has to do with societal misconceptions and societal conditioning, right?
Yeah, yeah. And these people, they're brought up thinking that they believe that this is really true, and then they just keep passing it on to the public. And it's like when I told that guy, he goes, well, there's signs. I said, no, there's not. Those signs came down because it wasn't legal. And, you know, I mean, sometimes you just hit them with stuff like that. And I made that meme with signs. You know, people don't realize that this is actually a racial thing. They didn't want hippies and poor people of color in their establishments. So, unfortunately, you know, the other guy, you know, the business owners, they're sitting there thinking like, oh, what can we do? You know, what can we do to keep these people out? You know, we had to take down all the signs like, this is your restroom, that's your restroom, those are your water fountains, these are white water fountains. I mean, the stupidity that existed in this country. What they did was they decided, oh, we'll just put the health department requires this to happen. And this way we don't look like the bad guys. And that's really where the myth came from. And
phenomenon started decades ago. At this point, the people that I mean, I don't know how old you are. You're probably about in my age gap. I'm 32. I'm in my early 30s. So I wasn't even alive back when those no shirt, no shoes, no service signs became a phenomenon. But that was long enough ago where most people now don't even remember that, but they just can think that that's how it is. We've been conditioned to think that we need to have shoes when we go into places.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they were brought up that way. They were brought up thinking that this is true, and they think that, oh, this is the way it has to be. Well, they're wrong, and that's what we're here for. Coming up to the top of the hour, we've got to take a quick break. So when we come back, we've got more with you. 319-527-6208 is a way to be a part of the show. And check out our website. Time to pay the bills. No one showed up with a big suitcase full of money yet. So we'll be right back.
How would you like to make your work more enjoyable, be more creative and relaxed, all while sitting at your desk? That's exactly what my Serenity Rug has done for me. This revolutionary footrest, I can't even call it a footrest, because this thing encourages movement of your feet, which results in more blood flow. While traditional footrests advocate the motionless placement of your feet, I found that I'm unconsciously digging my feet into the long, soft grass strands of the Serenity Rug. It delivers an incredibly relaxing sensation that closely resembles the feeling of an exotic foot massage. If you have ever had a foot massage that made you want to stay there for hours, you know what I'm talking about. If you have not heard about the Serenity Rug, check them out at serenityrug.com and join the exclusive Serenity Rug community and enjoy a feeling of comfort and relaxation that most will never experience. They've sold out before, so I suggest you do your feet a favor and grab one of these. Again, that's serenityrug.com.
Are you barefooters out there looking for a new place to shop, eat, and save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are seven of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right here, the check originally was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we are going to check out. View the books in your area before you buy. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Just click on your city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around town with your new Save Around book.
Got a spare tire around that waist? Is your muffin top over the top? Do you binge eat uncontrollably? We are the government, and we are here to help you. Here at our free FEMA weight loss camp, we have numerous ways to help you shed those unsightly, unwanted pounds. FEMA, or fatties, eating mitigated automatically has a communist-style weight loss czar that specializes in centralized weight loss planning and communal extended fasting programs to shed that fat away in no time. Skin and boned means extra tone is the motto. Just remember, there is no way you can do it on your own. We will forcefully assist you into compliance. Failure is not an option in this utopian wonderland. How fantastic. Typical workout regimes include digging ditches and restocking them with dirt, building railways and more. Get life skills while you get lean. How do you join? Simple. Recite the Constitution in a public commons or violate the Patriot Act that includes simple misdemeanors. It's really that easy to get your own fenced-in slice of Americana. Stop being a fatty. The state is your daddy.
Hey, Freedom S, join me, Proof Negative. Weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together. Right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
Did you know that every time you swipe your debit card, those behind-the-scenes transaction fees make the big banks even richer? In 2016 alone, these fees added up to $60 billion. Yes, that's billion with a B. Well, what if there was a way to have the convenience of a debit card, but reroute those fees from the banksters to organizations actually doing good in the world? Organizations that protect the environment or feed hungry children? What if your swipes could literally change the world? Well, Groundswell SPC has found a way to do just that. We've designed a Visa debit card program that shares transaction fees with your favorite cause. Groundswell partners with nonprofit organizations that promote the card to their supporters. Their supporters then use the card to power the mission of the nonprofit. It's a win-win-win for everyone, except the big banks, of course. Groundswell is about to launch its first cards into market, and we're inviting you to be part of this movement as an investor in the company. Go to wefunder.com/groundswellcard to learn more. Set up a free WeFunder account and invest in Groundswell today and get your money on mission.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to talk to you about our newest sponsor, Misty'sGardens.com. Now, this is a contraption where you can grow food in your apartment, in a small patio, or if you're like me and you absolutely suck at gardening, this makes life a lot easier. It is a vertical tower garden. We can grow over 20 things at once in a small, compacted area. Good health starts with good habits, like eating wholesome foods, and with tower gardens, you can easily grow your own fresh, nutrient-rich food virtually anywhere year-round without soil. So, Misty'sGardens.com, have a look at it, check it out, buy it, plant, and like it. Misty'sGardens.com.
The views and opinions expressed during the BIL radio show are those of the host and not that of Freedomizer Radio or the broadcast affiliates.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up, stand up for your rights. Get up.
(319) 527-6208. That's how to be a part of the show. So give us a call. And thanks for hanging in there while we paid our bills there. We're on the phone with Cheryl. She's a guest on the line today. Not in the studio, I'm sorry. You are on the phones. I have so many channels over here. I'm like monitoring so many things left and right now. And I almost went to pull you up over here, and I'm like, oh no, you're on the phone. You're over here. So I'm like, okay, here we go. So, well, welcome back. Thanks for hanging in there. We got to pay the bills somehow. That's what keeps us around. And check us out. Check out our website. We'll start there. Do our website. I'm just going through what we have here. Barefootislegal.org. Before the break, we were talking about a lot of, confrontation and stuff. And even, where to get the state right cards or the, the ADA card or the health department letters, driving, letters from motor vehicles, letters from corporate that say that they don't have a policy. And free for the taking right there. Just go to barefootislegal.org. Also in the file section, our closed group on Facebook, Barefoot is Legal. Now, when you join the group, though, and I just want to make sure I'm clear on this. For anybody out there that's interested in living a barefoot lifestyle or lives a barefoot lifestyle, join the group. This is not a fetish community. So this is not a place to get your rocks off on foot pictures. No, no, no. We are here to educate and empower you to live a barefoot lifestyle. So 319-527-6208. Let's get that little scrolly thing on the bottom of the screen for our viewing audience over there on our Facebook group. I can see the number just rolling along the bottom of the screen there. So anyway, Cheryl, if anybody's just joining us, why don't you give us a brief little intro again about you?
Okay. My name's Sherilyn Rubner. I've been a part-time barefooter for about 4 years now. I made it through New York winter once, and just within the past year or so, I've started being more active and going out barefoot in public and beginning to educate the public about the law and the fact that we actually are protected by the law, that there are no laws or health codes or anything against being barefoot while driving or even being in restaurants or food stores. That's a very common misconception. If there are laws about that, which in some places they do have laws that relate to employees, and those are the OSHA laws, but they don't apply to patrons. They only apply to the people that are actually being paid to work with whatever it is, whether it's food or dangerous materials.
In a way, just to clear that up, though, Process, OSHA does not pass laws. Those are just regulations.
Okay,
and,
thank you.
So what happens is that, again, it's – I mean, I'm not picking on you. I just want to make sure that, listeners know that laws – And I've done a rant about this, about legislation, and our legislators, congressmen, reps and stuff like that, they push laws through. OSHA, an organization that just works, safety at the workplace, warehouses, restaurants, stuff like that. And they have a whole list of silly things that, it's employers should follow them because of workers' comp issues and job safety. But I've been on job sites and I've thrown OSHA inspectors right out of the place. I'm not worried about that. So one of them came into the office. I think it was last year at some point. And they said, hi, I'm from whatever. I said, we don't want any. Well, we just want to take a look around, make sure everything's okay. I said, I'm sorry. All the information we have here is confidential and proprietary. You got to leave. They're just like, but we're OSHA. I said, yeah, I'm on the owner. You can get out now. They're just like, what? If I don't hear their recommendations, I don't have to follow them. They were just like, well, we could fine you. I said, no, you're not. There's no violation to fine me for. You didn't see anything. Get out.
Most people don't know that. Most people don't know that we actually have a lot more rights than what we've been conditioned to believe that we do. And a lot of businesses and even, like you just pointed out, even government-sanctioned organizations capitalize off of the fact that people are not educated about their rights.
Yeah, yeah. And it's important that we understand what our rights are. I mean, whether it comes down to a simple, search of a car at a traffic stop or, being harassed for being barefoot and they threaten to call the cops on you. They'll threaten to call the cops and they're like, well, we'll have you arrested for trespassing. I'm like, you're open to the public. Yeah, but we're a private company. I said, no, you're a place of public accommodation. When you spin the argument around like that, they're just like, what do we do? And go ahead. Cop comes in. They're just like, well, we need to, I said, actually, they don't have a right to sign a trespassing warrant on anybody. That has to come from corporates, first of all. Second of all, their place of public accommodation. So I'm glad you're here. In the report, I want to reflect that they're going to refuse service for this reason, and this is why. And they're just like, yeah, we can do that. And they turn around to them half the time, and they say, do you understand that, you know, this is going to play out a certain way? And it becomes a civil matter at that point. And typically the cops don't want to get involved.
Well, so, no, and in fact, it's a waste of the cops' time, as a matter of fact, because they should be out solving real crimes. Or not solving, but, you know, dealing with actual crimes and not dealing with some uppity shop owners that have a problem with somebody being barefoot. And this is something that I wanted to bring up what I know we only have about 15 minutes, though, but I noticed that at the very beginning of the show, on the recording, you know, the opening recording, or maybe, oh no, maybe that's a recording, or maybe that's actually you talking, I don't know, but you mentioned that the barefoot lifestyle is not about fetishism, and that is something that I think that we should continue pointing out, because it's what it seems to me, and this is just a theory that I'm starting to develop, but it seems to me that a lot of the people that have a problem with us being barefoot in public are triggered because of their own fetishes, that we make them feel uncomfortable because we're practicing our freedoms in a completely non-sexual manner, and then it's almost like, oh wow, well, you know, it's like the top freedom thing as well. And this is where I'm going to draw an analogy, even though I know that this show is not about top freedom, but I think that there's a lot of similarities here, that people get triggered when we celebrate our bodily freedoms because, oh my goodness, all of a sudden this thing that, you know, Joe Schmo has been keeping inside of his mind, something that he wants to keep behind closed doors, that he's aroused by whatever it is, whether it's feet or chests, that now there's somebody in public exposing themselves in a non-sexual way, and Joe Schmo can't keep his own triggers down, and so he ends up taking it out on those of us that are just existing in a family friendly way. So I mean, I don't want to get too deep into this, but maybe I do. I don't know. From the research that I've done, isn't foot fetishism the number one fetish? Like if you search for I mean, you could. I'm sure that there are statistics that you could find anywhere. But strikes me as odd that my foot is so triggering to people, and that my breasts are so triggering to people. It's not my fetish. That's everybody else's fetish. I'm just sitting here, like, existing and trying to go about my daily tasks. So maybe this is something that we should be approaching as a societal,
as a community, as our community, to actually remove that stigma of it. And you know what? You're right. I mean, it's there are people out there that have a fetish. There are people out there that have a foot fetish, but there are also people out there that have a hand fetish, a nose fetish, a lip fetish, a chest fetish, a boob fetish, a butt fetish, a hair fetish. I mean, fetishes exist. The people are out there all over the place. You don't know who they are. But, you know, anything could trigger them. You know, so like I say, for those heavy breathing fun seekers, this is not the place to get your rocks off on foot pictures. And I always make that clear, because we have a group of people that want to live a barefoot lifestyle or are interested in living a barefoot lifestyle. And we want to be a safe place for them to be able to talk, communicate, share their stories, their issues that they have, and help them with those issues. You know, in a way, we're like a 16,000 member support group online for people that have issues wanting to live that lifestyle, wanting to be healthier, or have been oppressed because they are barefoot for religious, cultural, or medical reasons. And that's something we need to be like a safe place. And that's why I'm always clear about that, because now I get, okay, I get hundreds of messages just through Facebook each week. I think one week, I think I spiked at like 2000 something, you know, you just can't count them all. And, you know, you do have those people out there that are just like, I like your feet. And you're just like, block, 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 block. Now I also get a lot of hate mail. You know, I in the position that I'm in, I'm probably not the most popular guy with the shod culture. That, you know, I get a, you know, I'm a bloated scumbag, and I mean, there's some things I can't even say on the radio, just because, you know, people just don't like what we do, and it just comes with the territory. So
That's something that I'm doing. That's part of the reason why I'm involved with the group in the first place, because I mean, frankly, you know, I'm aside from a couple of instances, I haven't really felt like I've needed support, but I want to offer support, and I want to offer information and the ideas that I've developed from doing the barefoot thing for long enough. You know, I think that there are a lot of people that want to try going barefoot in public. I mean, even if it's just like into the cafe at the beach, maybe even that's a barrier for some people, right? But I would like to be able to help people that are interested in starting to live this way, to let them know that it's not always going to feel safe, that it's we're going to have to confront people that are going to give us hostility, and we're going to have to confront people or avoid people that are somehow attracted to us in a creepy way because of the fact that we're not wearing shoes. And so it's a confidence building experience to be able to go through those barriers. And I just want people to know that it's liberating and it's empowering, but it also means that we have to face some people that may have their own bizarro issues that have nothing to do with us. And that's why we have the support group, right? I mean, the Facebook page has thousands of people, and, you know, we have barefootislegal.com, right? It's .com, and there's some other ones. Oh, it's .org, and there's also a barefooters.org.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they also have a lot of letters from government offices up there too. And it's really important for us to have an arsenal of paperwork to bring with us when we go to places, because you know, a lot of the times they don't want to hear what we have to say, whether it's because we're barefoot or, you know, a lot of us also have alternative appearances in the first place. Anyway, I mean, you're on Facebook Live. You have a mohawk and a nose ring. I have dreadlocks.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people. So a lot of people already automatically judge us and think that we don't know what we're doing. And it's, I mean, even if you look like a CEO from a boardroom, if you're clean cut and you have a yuppie T-shirt on, like, it doesn't even matter what you look like. I want people to know that if they're going to go out there and do this practice, which can be a personal practice, but we need to realize that once you step out the door and you're doing something that is against the status quo, you're automatically an activist.
Yeah.
So we have to go out there informed, and we have to go out there armed with the laws that are in our defense.
That's true. You're right. And go to the website. It's barefootislegal.org. If you are not a member of the group, most of the ammunition you need when you go up against these dimwit key holders to the celery and all that, give them a name badge. They think that they know everything, and someone gave them a legal degree, and they're all of a sudden law enforcement. They'll escort people out of places just because they have a name badge. These misinformed twits. Go to barefootislegal.org. Get all the information that's there. Copy your health department letter. Copy the state rights cards. Copy the ADA. Whatever your reason are for going barefoot, go get that. carry it with you, and also take your cell phone out and record. Sometimes as soon as some of these people see a cell phone in someone's hand, they're just like, oh no, this is not going to end well. I'm going to be a bad representation for whatever corporate company they work for. And it's amazing how just taking a phone out puts people on good behavior. And I noticed in that Walmart confrontation, that video that I put, as soon as that manager kind of saw me walking over with a phone, he's just like, oh, this is, you know, he's just like, no way. This is going to be all over the internet. This is not going to end well for me and my career, and my family's going to starve once corporate gets a hold of this. So,
yeah, I mean, once you make people aware that they're just as visible as you are, they start to change their tune a little bit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That happens. Anybody else wants to call in? 319-527-6208. Is the number to call in. Again, that's 319-527-6208. And yes, I dumped five of you people off the phone lines. You're not going to pull this today. I screened a couple people during break. Mostly trolls.
What are the trolls trying to do? I'm curious.
Oh, they like to get on the airwaves. And they like to start with a story about like, oh, hi, I was, shopping and I walked out to my car. And then all of a sudden they called the cops and then they started beating me up. And then like it's like all kinds of crazy stories that they like to throw out there. And then they start dropping the F-bomb and all that. I'm not going to give away all my tactics for screening calls because then, of course, everybody's going to figure out how to get around it. But, yeah, it's quite interesting sometimes. So if anybody wants to go around with me for the next 8 minutes of break that we're going to have in four, 319-527-6208 is a way to be a part of the show. Press one to be on the air. And me and my call screener will be happy to talk to you. And I get little messages on one of my monitors here in the studio. And it's I have a side chain that goes from the switchboard and there's another one pulled up so that someone else can actually screen calls if it gets really backed up and I don't want to wait till a break or I see numbers and I'm just like, oh, make sure that we grab this number and stuff. That's why I asked for your number before the broadcast so that I know where you are and I can just pop you right in my queue. And it's not, you're not buried in there. And, they come up with some very interesting things. Once in a while, I'll let one of them on the air to tell me how terrible I am. And I also like going through some of our messages. And actually, this is a good one. I think I meant to play this clip last week. Once in a while, I'll do some commercials. And you know those big pharmaceutical ads that you see on TV, how this medicine is the best for you, but all those side effects are, could kill you? Yeah, we have a classic for that one. Shoeless is a product that's out on the anti-pharma market. And before we go into the break, I just want to take some time to play that because I get quite a few messages like, oh, I heard you talk about how you handle them and blah, blah, blah. Frank Offers Industries. Frank Offers is the illegitimate pitch man of the BIL radio show. He did the video called The Anti-Shoe. And the pitch man from the TV, stuff, his name is Frank Offers, has a whole line of miscellaneous products that don't exist. And he'll come on the show once in a while. Very high energy guy. And pretty much come through here like a whirlwind. And he'll always have some crazy product to pitch. So Frank Offers Industries came up with a pharmaceutical commercial, and I'm going to play that one before we come into our bottom of the hour break here in a little bit. Just the messages stop. It's not request night, but hey, I like to entertain that. So, I'd like to hear more about what your reasons are for going barefoot. And why you decided to do it and some of the issues that you've had, some of the major issues. And now you live, if you want to mention it on the air, you don't have to give away the exact city. You could even throw a coast or a state out there that you live in. It's up to you what you want to share with our listeners. I think if I know where you live, I actually lived out there for a while. And it's amazing the dynamic you have growing up in Jersey, going into Manhattan, and then being in other places in that, New York. And I don't know if you've seen a dynamic, if you've traveled back and forth a lot from the city, the suburbs and stuff, or if you have any experiences you want to share with us when we come back from the break. It would be great for our listeners to hear about some of that. We can kind of compare notes since we are both kind of from the same area.
Yeah, definitely.
If you're up for it. We're coming down to the bottom of the hour, 319-527-6208. I will throw your shoeless pharmaceutical commercial here before we come into our commercial break. So stick around. Enjoy this little piece.
My toes itch. My back is in pain.
My feet smell.
Well, I suffer from knee and hip pain.
If you suffer from any of those symptoms, Shoeless is a natural foot remedy to treat most symptoms of pain, infection, and other ailments caused by shoes. Shoeless can be applied simply by removing whatever is on your feet. Shoeless is a non-prescription solution to most foot problems that are caused by wearing shoes. In most cases, when using Shoeless, it does not impair your ability to operate a vehicle, walk, run, shop, jump, play, move, dance, sing, flip, or other human activities. Those using Shoeless have reported feeling happy, less pain, better mood, and have a better sense of health and freedom. Other benefits also include eliminating athlete's foot, foot odor, fungus, and other forms of bacteria known to have been caused by shoes. Some users of Shoeless may be told that it's against the law. Ask your doctor for a note when using Shoeless. Other side effects include a higher sense of awareness and in your surroundings. Do not use Shoeless if you are standing in a pit of fire. Using Shoeless may not increase your chances of flying or winning the lottery. However, some users have reported having higher self-esteem and positive attitudes, as well as more confidence. Shoeless is best when used all the time. Use caution when using Shoeless until your body adapts. Shoeless has also been proven to increase learning, attention, help fight depression, and ease effects of autism. Feel free to ask your doctor how Shoeless can benefit you. For more information about Shoeless and its benefits, visit barefootislegal.org.
And what we'll do is, in a little bit, we do need to take our commercial break. So I don't want anybody to go too far. Make sure you stay tuned to that screen, that monitor, that phone, whatever it is that you are listening to our show. We're coming up to the last half hour time I have with you this week. And we're also on the phone with a special guest in the studio today. Cheryl, she is sharing a lot of her experiences and more from her. You come back. 319-527-6208 is a way to be a part of the show. Time to pay some bills. No one's dropped off that suitcase of money yet. So stick around. Stay tuned. Coming right back.
How would you like to make your work more enjoyable, be more creative and relaxed, all while sitting at your desk? That's exactly what my Serenity Rug has done for me. This revolutionary footrest, I can't even call it a foot rest because this thing encourages movement of your feet, which results in more blood flow. While traditional footrests advocate the motionless placement of your feet, I found that I'm unconsciously digging my feet into the long, soft grass strands of the Serenity Rug. It delivers an incredibly relaxing sensation that closely resembles the feeling of an exotic foot massage. If you have ever had a foot massage that made you want to stay there for hours, you know what I'm talking about. If you have not heard about the Serenity Rug, check them out at serenityrug.com and join the exclusive Serenity Rug community and enjoy a feeling of comfort and relaxation that most will never experience. They've sold out before, so I suggest you do your feet a favor and grab one of these. Again, that's serenityrug.com.
Are you barefooters out there looking for a new place to shop, eat, and save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are seven of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding copy of the receipt right here. The check originally was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we are going to check out. View the books in your area before you buy. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Just click on your city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around town with your new Save Around book.
Got a spare tire around that waist? Is your muffin top over the top? Do you binge eat uncontrollably? We are the government, and we are here to help you. Here at our free FEMA weight loss camp, we have numerous ways to help you shed those unsightly, unwanted pounds. FEMA, or Fatties, Eating Mitigated, automatically has a communist-style weight loss czar that specializes in centralized weight loss planning and communal extended fasting programs to shed that fat away in no time. Skin and boned means extra tone is the motto. Just remember, there is no way you can do it on your own. We will forcefully assist you into compliance. Failure is not an option in this utopian wonderland. How fantastic! Typical workout regimes include digging ditches and restocking them with dirt, building railways and more. Get life skills while you get lean. How do you join? Simple. Recite the Constitution in a public commons or violate the Patriot Act that includes simple misdemeanors. It's really that easy to get your own fenced-in slice of Americana. Stop being a fatty. The state is your daddy.
Hey, Freedomist, join me, Proof Negative. Weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together. Right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
Did you know that every time you swipe your debit card, those behind-the-scenes transaction fees make the big banks even richer? In 2016 alone, these fees added up to $60 billion. Yes, that's billion with a B. Well, what if there was a way to have the convenience of a debit card, but reroute those fees from the banksters to organizations actually doing good in the world? Organizations that protect the environment or feed hungry children? What if your swipes could literally change the world? Well, Groundswell SPC has found a way to do just that. We've designed a Visa debit card program that shares transaction fees with your favorite cause. Groundswell partners with nonprofit organizations that promote the card to their supporters. Their supporters then use the card to power the mission of the nonprofit. It's a win-win-win for everyone, except the big banks, of course. Groundswell is about to launch its first cards into market, and we're inviting you to be part of this movement as an investor in the company. Go to wefunder.com/groundswellcard to learn more. Set up a free WeFunder account and invest in Groundswell today and get your money on mission.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to talk to you about our newest sponsor, Misty'sGardens.com. Now, this is a contraption where you can grow food in your apartment, in a small patio, or if you're like me and you absolutely suck at gardening, this makes life a lot easier. It is a vertical tower garden. We can grow over 20 things at once in a small, compacted area. Good health starts with good habits, like eating wholesome foods. And with Tower Gardens, you can easily grow your own fresh, nutrient-rich food virtually anywhere year-round without soil. So, Misty'sGardens.com, have a look at it, check it out, buy it, plant, and like it. Misty'sGardens.com.
The views and opinions expressed during the BIO radio show are those of the host and not that of Freedomizer Radio or the broadcast affiliates.
We shall overcome. We shall overcome.
Right, 319-527-6208 is a way to be a part of the show. Coming down to the last of our time we have this weekend, but we still have another 20 minutes of time with you where we can empower you and help dispel the myth that going barefoot is illegal. 319-527-6208 is a way to be a part of the show. Just press 1 to be on the air. We're in the studio today with Cheryl. She is our special guest and talking about a lot of the experiences that we have. Again, I'm your host, Nick Pierce, and for everybody joining us over there on Facebook, for our live feed, that's great. Welcome over there, too. And there's our call-in number right there if you're watching our Facebook feed. And also check us out on the web, barefootislegal.org, and our Facebook group. Check it out. So, anyway, let's bring Cheryl back in here with us. There we go. We've got both your channels open up so our video stream and our radio listeners can hear you. There we go. Welcome back. Before the break, we were talking about you know, where you live. And, you know, I mean, there's a lot of different neighborhoods and different territory around there that, you know, probably different reactions and experiences that you have throughout all that. And I was from around the same area as well. But I was kind of interested in knowing about a little bit about, you know, some of the experiences you've had, whether positive, negative, what the worst experiences that you've ever had, any objections that you've had with all that. So anyway, sure. Welcome back.
Thanks. Yeah, well, I'm from Long Island, New York. I was born here and, I'm here right now, although over the past few years I've done so much traveling that I've actually spent more time away than here, but, this is still my place of residence, and it's been an interesting experience for me practicing my barefootedness in a lot of different places in the country, because I have actually encountered more problems right here in my hometown than I have anywhere else. I mean, I've even been kicked out of my hometown library, where I remember I was really upset about it at the time, because I used to go to the library every weekend when I was in my teens. I was actually the president of the Teen Friends of the Library, and the security guard came up to me and I had to leave. I got kicked out of a restaurant in my hometown. I mean, it's been a little bit weird. I wouldn't say that I get different reactions in different areas of the country. I really think that it comes down to the individual store or building that you're in, because even in areas that are very open-minded and liberal, you'll find people that just don't seem to understand that there are better things to do than hassle somebody for not wearing shoes. But then again,
personal lifestyle choice. Yeah.
Yeah. I've also noticed, because I was reflecting on this during the break, that observing myself, it seems that I may have historically been more likely to feel more daring in my home state. I've noticed that, like, especially when I go through Middle America, like, I don't even try. You know, I mean, I'm sorry to say that, but there's some places around that, you know, I'm afraid to even step out of my vehicle because the people are so, you know, in their own world that I'm definitely not going to walk into a place without wearing shoes if I need to conduct business. But,
I have a very interesting thought about that, though. And I don't know if it was Proof that mentioned it in the group, but he said that when you go to some place that you normally don't go, that's where you try and test the waters to see if you can get out of your shell, because you're never going to be back there again. So who cares? You know, go to a store
that's
on the way
really
out of the
good
town,
point.
Or like you said, like when you're in middle America, it's like well that's when, if you want to get over anxiety, you can do it. I mean, you're never going to see these people again. You don't live there. You have no ties there. You have, it's not like there's coworkers, friends, anybody that's going to hear these rumors about, you know, that someone's going to spread thinking that you're crazy or out of your mind. You can go into a store. You can go into a restaurant any way you want. It's not where you live. You have no life there. So,
right.
For people
so it's
that
actually
have anxiety,
less risky.
Yeah. Yeah, so for people that have that anxiety of going into some place and they want to try it, but they just can't get over that barrier, drive to the other side of town. Go to, you know, if you normally shop at one location, go to another location, like 2-3 towns over, half hour away if you can. Walk in there to see if you can overcome that barrier that you have with yourself, just to help build confidence.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I would say that my experience definitely supports that, because there are some places that now I would around where I live that I would be hesitant to walk into again, because now I know that I'm either not welcome or I'm in for a really big fight. But if I go across town or across the state, you're right, it's almost like it doesn't even matter that you can almost it's like practice in a way. It's like rehearsal
where you can build
your confidence, and mm-hmm. you know what, whether you're not hassled or whether you are, you can build up the experience that you may need in case you ever really have to go into a situation where you have to really lay down the law, so to speak.
You know, like I said, especially for people with anxiety that just don't quite know how to go about it, or they're afraid of what's going to happen. Who cares what happens someplace where you don't live? And it's funny because the mentality is that people go on vacation and people travel. And as soon as they get out of that hometown that they're in, their minds puts them in that, I can do whatever I want. And that's why if you ever go to a lot of beach resorts, tourist attractions, stuff like that, there's always a lot of cops. There's always a lot of people that are, you know, very strict about keeping order. Because when people are in that position, they think that, you know, they lose a lot of their inhibitions. And they think that, you know, oh, well, I'm on vacation. I'm at Myrtle Beach, or I'm at Disney, or I'm here. I'm at the, you know, out on Fire Island, or I'm at the Jersey Shore, or something like that. And they have a tendency to behave differently than they would if they're in their hometown. So they lose a lot of that, you know, self-consciousness, and they just cut loose and party and just, you know, do stupid stuff, really, sometimes. And those are the perfect places where you want to. Try that.
Yeah, that's a really great idea, and I appreciate that you're giving advice to people that may have a lot of anxiety about this, because I mean I don't want to say that it's a anxiety worthy act, but there are valid reasons to be anxious, and if people already suffer from anxiety, it's important to realize that there are ways to mitigate that anxiety, and that it's worth it. I have experienced a lot of problems, but I've experienced a lot more empowerment and liberation than I have problems, and my own anxiety has been reduced by how I have stepped up to my own plate and been willing to go forth and be confident in going into places where I know that I'm allowed to be. But so I think that yes, if trying going to other places besides your hometown is one really good way, and then also knowing the laws and actually maybe even rehearsing at home the key points that you would say to someone who wanted to give you a hard time to prepare yourself, you know. And the Barefoot is Legal group is a really great way to have other people's input as to how to go about that process as well. That we're not alone, and we do have a lot of support, and it's okay to feel anxious. You know, we never get to the next stage of where we're trying to get to in life unless we push through fear. You know, it's okay to feel afraid, but you can't accomplish anything unless you say, you know what, fear, I'm going to push you over here, and I'm going to do what I know is right for me.
Oh, yeah, and you're right. And it's the nerves, it's the fear, it's the overcoming all that within yourself and walking into some place like you own it and you have that confidence is key. Because it's like humans still have that animal instinct. They can sense fear. They can sense anxiety. And if they think that they can bully you, they will. And, you know, they all have like some overzealous thought of, you know, how powerful these people are. They really aren't. What these employees need to learn is that they work for you. They're in customer service. They do not have a paycheck unless you spend your money there. And people need to internally get over that anxiety, those angst, you know, everything that you were talking about in order to walk in with the confidence that they should have. And I mean, everybody's different. I mean, this is a very blanket statement. I mean, and of course, here goes the phone lines. They start lighting up. I'm sure it's going to be a bunch of people where it's like, oh, I have anxiety. I have PTSD. I have this. I have that. It's like, hey, listen, this is not therapy. I can't, you know, I mean, everybody's case is different, but find your comfort zone and try it in places that you normally don't go. Like, you know, if you have no desire in crafts and stuff like that, walk into a Joanne or a Michaels. Because there's nothing in there that you really need. You're not going to be butthurt if you get tossed out. It doesn't matter if you take your business elsewhere, because you really don't need anything in there anyway. So try stuff like that. And, you know, if you're a vegetarian, go to a steakhouse and see how it works out for you. If they throw you out, well, it doesn't matter. You don't want anything on the menu anyway, you know? Go to places that you really don't want to be.
But if they don't give you trouble, then you're locked into buying a plate of broccoli. That's the problem.
And that's fine. What you do is you look at the menu and you're just like, I don't know. I have a few drinks and I'm out of here. I'm just here for a couple drinks. You know, you always have that plan B, plan C.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I know that I've been talking a lot about a bad experience today, but I do, at least before the show is over, give it, anyone that's listening a little bit more hope with a very positive experience that I had actually this week. I successfully went into my local government office and conducted my entire legal transaction with no shoes on, and nobody said a damn thing. So, I mean, I probably wouldn't have been able to have the courage to do that if I hadn't had to stand up for myself in stores and bars and libraries. But I do want people to know that eventually you may be able to get to a point where you can conduct all of your business barefoot. And I know that you, Nick, have been doing this for 15 years and you don't even own a pair of shoes, which I think is just so awesome.
Actually, I will say this, though. You know, when I say that I don't even own anything that goes on my feet, I think I mentioned this last week and I got a lot of funny messages about it. I found a sock. It was behind, like, one part of my couch. And I'm like, oh, I remember this chick who left that sock here. Okay, I'm terrible. And I'm like, well, what am I going to do with this sock? Well, it ended up in the laundry, and I figured maybe the sock monster will take it. Because, you know, you're always missing one pair of socks. I always hear these stories, like, where someone puts, like, two pairs of socks in the washer or dryer, and by the time they're done doing laundry, they have, like, one and a half pairs. So, you know, I threw it in there and washed up and everything. And I have a blowgun. It shoots those darts. And it sits in a corner in my bedroom at home with a shotgun and different other guns and stuff like that. And I'm sure I'll get some hate mail on that one, too, because I own a gun. And what I figured was, oh, this is perfect just to put over the mouthpiece. It doesn't get, like, dusty inside. Well, there we go. That's pretty practical. I'm like, never thought of using a sock. I haven't had a sock in, like, 20-something years. What am I going to do? Like, what am I going to do with it? So, yeah, it was one of those interesting little tidbits there throughout there. But positive experiences. Yeah, I'd love to hear the positives. We have some time left, so feel free to share. Victories. What kind of victories have you had?
Well, I've already mentioned the New York winter that I went through. Aside from one day, I wore boots on one day. I decided to cheat. But I have also taken to barefoot hiking. I spent a good 3 weeks to a month in the woods last year without wearing shoes at any time. I don't even think that I brought shoes with me. And I found that, my feet had already been acclimated to the outside. You know, I wouldn't recommend someone that was not already a seasoned barefooter going for weeks in the woods without shoes. But myself already having been doing this for a few years, I took it on, and it was an amazing experience. I was able to traverse fields and trees and paths and everything, rocks, mud, whatever, without any problems. And I actually found that it was that I was more safe and more aware of where I was stepping than I have ever been while I was wearing shoes, whether, you know, hiking,
yeah,
sandals or boots or, you know, because when your skin and your bones are in direct contact with the earth, then you become so much more aware of where you're going. And I would highly recommend it. Yeah, you know, that's something that I'm proud of. I don't think that I'll ever go hiking with shoes again unless I were in extremely rough terrain. You know, like I still shudder on certain gravel parking lots. You know, you know, my feet are very soft too. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, don't you get calluses? And it's like, well, no. I mean, it's almost like when you buy, I mean, and I'm not, I, you know, as an on and off vegan, I feel kind of weird even bringing this up, but if you have a leather jacket, right, and you wear that leather jacket for years, it actually becomes softer and more durable, and our feet are the exact same way.
Yeah, and it's funny because a lot of people have the misconception that, you know, our feet are very tough, calloused, or like cardboard, or like, you know, tough leather on the bottom. That is true when you are just maybe making the transition into living the full-time barefoot lifestyle. However, after time, they become more padded, just like a dog or a cat or any other animal in nature. And it actually allows you to remanipulate, grasp, grab, readjust and everything when you're walking. So your foot would hit a certain way. And like when you said you have gravel, your foot actually can reconform to that and make adjustments for balance and all kinds of things, you know, as far as traction and all that, because they, you know, I mean, that's what the foot's meant to do.
Yeah.
So you're right. Yeah.
And well, think about it this way too. Let's just say in the case of gravel, right? If it hurts to walk on, then maybe that means that you're either supposed to be walking a lot slower or that you're not supposed to be walking on it at all. You know, if something hurts,
or that you're walking on it wrong,
then that's a sign. It's an indication that it may be a bad idea. I mean, that's really the evolutionary purpose of pain, right? Is to indicate potential danger.
Exactly. It's just another sense that you have to anticipate what you could be in for. It's a warning sign, and that's really what it is. The it's great when, like, you know, I mean, once your body starts adapting to that and the movement and how your foot actually hits and readjusts and your body rebalances and all that, it's amazing what you can do. And
I know that we only have two minutes left, but I want to mention something in closing here, in response to what you just said about the way that the foot falls. To give the listeners something to look at later if they're interested, I just shared this on the Barefoot is Legal page, which it's closed, and you'll have to join it if you want to see it. Or wait, I think it's open. If you want to post, you have to join, but anyone could look at it. So I just shared a video that was done by, I don't know, he may have been a German guy in Middle Ages costume, and he was talking about how back in the day when we wore soft shoes or no shoes at all, that the way that our foot falls we walk
is the medieval,
we're not supposed to strike our heels. We're supposed to be striking our toes on the ground first.
And how when
but
they changed
modern-day
the footwear,
shoes have basically completely changed the biodynamics of how we walk, and it causes a lot of skeletal problems. So... yeah, that's something to look into for those that are interested.
Yes, definitely. And you can check that out on the Facebook group. I think it also is on the public page, the business page. But I'd like to thank everybody for joining me. Cheryl, we are out of time this week, folks. So stay tuned next week. Cheryl, we'd love to have you back. This is a great episode and a great time to have you on the air. So anyway, check out barefootislegal.org. I'm your host, Mick Pierce. Thanks for joining us this weekend.